It's time to begin our worship, so please silence your cell phones and prepare for worship while we enjoy Melanie's prelude. Good morning again and welcome. What a beautiful day. We did need the rain. It's very nice to see a little change. I'm not a hot weather person, so I like this. Please register your attendance on the attendance sheets in the pews. Pass the sheets to the others in your row and make sure to note who's sitting next to you and put them back to the center aisle. Make sure to look through the calendar of events in your bulletin. Some things to note this week are the Vacation Bible School will be on Casper Mountain at Bear Trap Meadows, July 28th from 10 to 2. Everyone's welcome. Come for music, storytelling, games, lunch, and more as we learn about the Lord's Prayer together. Registration's open, so contact Joan McNamara or Jennifer Grooms. Their number is in the bulletin. Save the date for worship on the mountain. It's the next day, Sunday, July 29th at 11 at the Bear Trap North Shelter. Potluck lunch will follow. There will be chapel at 8:15, but no 10:10 service that day. A big thank you to Larry Winders, Cal Decker, Colin Hogan, Keith and Amber Rouse, and the Stupak family, Nicholas Grooms and Dewey Smith for taking over lawn care for the summer. Property appreciates your help. If anyone would like to play special music during the summer months, you're sure welcome. Probably contact Amber. If you're interested in reading scripture, there's a sign-up sheet out there. Please sign that and let them know. There are lots of open spots. Bible explorations will meet the second and fourth Monday at 2 in the boardroom. Next meeting will be June 25th at 2 p.m. Make sure you register for the upcoming CRMR Fall Feast, September 21 through 23rd at FCC. Early registration deadline is June 30th. I believe you get a discount if you're early. The final registration deadline will be August 31st. There's also a discount for local volunteers. You can register online or use a printed registration. They're out on the bulletin board. Lois Koch has moved to Park Place, and her new address is listed there in the bulletin. She still has the same phone number. If you have any yard or housework you want done, contact Amber Rouse. Her number's in the bulletin as well. Communion, we're doing things a little different. It's been our tradition for many summers. We're offering communion by intinction. You take a piece of bread, dip it in the cup, and then partake of both emblems together, representing Christ's body and blood. there's been a request for a more sanitary option of the individual wafers and small cups. For the rest of June, as you come forward, you can choose which communion type you prefer. Ride shares, if you're willing to provide a ride for to bring someone to worship and take them home afterwards, please call the church office and make arrangements. Are there any other announcements? Yes. Very nice. Well, let's all stand now and greet those around you, and then we'll continue our worship by singing "This Is My Father's World" on page 59 in your hymnal.
Thank you.
Please join me in the call to worship with the responsive reading in the bulletin. Come, sing praises to God. Rejoice in his presence.
For he is our God, a father to the fatherless.
Defender of all who need protection. Bless the Lord, the God of our salvation, who sustains us daily.
Let us worship God together.
Please pray with me. Loving and gracious God, may you mold us and use us so that we may be reformed in such a way that our lives will never be the same. Infuse a sense of mystery and keep us wanting more. Fill this room with your presence, we ask, in your name. Hear us now as we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the glory, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Our hymn of praise is number 64. We sing Your Mighty Power, O God. We'll sing the first and third verses. The children to come forward this morning, and it looks like maybe that just means Caleb. You want to come hang out with me for a minute? How's your day?
Good.
Did you remember to give Dad a Father's Day card?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I bet he's happy. I have a little illustration / game for us. Do you want to be it, or do you want me to be it?
I guess I'll be it.
You'll be it. Well, that's wonderful. That's very brave and generous of you. So I have a blindfold. Would you put that on? And I want you to tie it so you cannot see at all. How many fingers am I holding up? Okay, I guess you got it good. So go ahead and stand up. So Caleb can't see. Remember, you're standing on a step. Take one step forward, two step down. There we go. I want to be sure you're safe while we do this. Do you have faith in me?
Yeah.
Do you trust me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give you directions, and you're going to walk even though you can't see where you're going. Okay? So take three steps forward. Now turn to your left and take two steps to your left. Okay. Take one more step to your left. Now turn. It'll be easier if I just kind of help you. Turn just a little bit this way. Okay. Now take nice big steps and walk forward. Oh, you turned. I want you to walk this way. I don't want you to run into anything. Okay, try again. Big steps, walk forward. We're doing a little fine-tuning adjustment. Okay, forward again. Yay, big steps. Big steps. Big steps. And stop and turn around and come back. You're good. You're all clear. Come forward, straight to my voice. Big steps. Nothing in front of you. Nothing in front of you. You're still safe. Come on back. You're doing great. You are awesome. Okay, everybody, give Caleb a hand. Woo! Sit down for a second. So you thought you were over there?
Yeah.
You went straight down the aisle and back.
I did.
You did. You thought you were over there?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when we can't see, we think we know where we're going, but we don't. Would you like to do that again with nobody telling you where to go and just have to walk?
No.
That would be pretty scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes faith is kind of like that. We can't see what's next. We have big decisions to make in life, and we pray and we ask God to guide us. And sometimes we think we hear God's voice telling us to go in one direction, but maybe we're not listening right. We think we're headed someplace else and God has a different plan. Sometimes faith can be kind of scary. How did it feel when you were walking with a blindfold on?
Oh, I was pretty scared.
You were pretty scared? I would be pretty scared too, I think, especially if you were getting directions from somebody that you didn't trust. Let's imagine for a minute that you and your brother just had a fight. That's never happened, I know, so use your imagination. You and your brother just had a fight, and Evan is kind of messing with you, and Evan says, hey, let's play that game Pastor Cynthia taught you. Here, put on this blindfold. How would that feel if Evan, on a day he was really mad at you, was the one giving you directions?
I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't do it. Wise young man. Now, what about if it was a day when you both were getting along really well, and he was going to give you directions, and then you were going to give him directions, so you knew you both had a turn to do this. How would that feel? You'd maybe do it.
He's a teenager.
Teenagers are sometimes not as reliable as we'd like. Evan, you need to work a little bit on trust with your brother. Be nicer to him. Yeah. Sometimes we do this exercise at church camp, and we call it a trust walk. And each person in the group has a turn to be blindfolded, and someone else leads them. And sometimes you lead them with your voice, and sometimes you might actually take their hand or their elbow and guide them. And then everyone in the circle has a chance to be the one who's being led and being guided. It's just a reminder that sometimes on our faith walk, we have to trust God. We can't always see where God is leading us, but somehow by faith we find the courage to step out, and then we end up in wonderful, surprising places, and we grow and we learn. Thank you so much for being my helper today. You were awesome. High five. Would you all pray with us? Oh, you want to clap? You can clap again. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we give thanks for those days when we have the courage to step out in faith. Lord, we pray for people who don't know you well enough to trust you. We pray for people who want to hear your voice and don't know how to listen. Oh God, help us to see where you are leading us. And even when we cannot walk by sight, let us walk by faith. In Christ's name, all God's people said, amen. Thanks for hanging out with me today. I have more blindfolds. If anybody feels left out, you can try that after worship. On the back of your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns. And as we share these, I encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you and write a note to someone who needs to know you're praying for them today. Our card shower is for Jackie Meeks. She has been diagnosed with a brain tumor. The news is very sad. It is inoperable. The doctors at this point are estimating probably 2 to 3 months for Jackie. So prayers for Jackie and for Jerry, for their family. At this time, they're requesting no visits. She's under hospice care at home. The family is keeping her comfortable, and she's resting. Some days are better than others, and so it's just kind of challenging to have lots of visitors stopping by the house, and they're really wanting to just keep things quiet and comfortable. But please pray for Jackie and Jerry. When I spoke with him this week, he assured me that her daughters have been here to visit, and they've stocked up the fridge. He's got lots of food that's easy to prepare, so when other family is not here, Jerry is doing fine, taking care of things. He appreciates very much the offer for food, but right now they're doing okay. And I asked him to let us know if there's something else we can do. And he said, please pray. So please pray for Jackie and Jerry Meeks and peace for all of their family. Mina Paget, one of our older members who attends chapel each week, fell and injured her knee. Prayers for Mina as she recovers from that fall. We continue to pray for the family of Roger Miller, who has passed away. And today, of course, we give thanks to God for all fathers. We pray for those who are blessed with the gift of fatherhood and the challenges that brings. We pray that all men who are in the role of being a father or a teacher or a coach or a mentor or a friend would be a role model for young people to follow in the footsteps of a man who loves God. Prayers for Cheryl Dion's mother. Cheryl is our nursery care worker. For the summer, Dorothy Newmiller is filling in so that Cheryl can be in Torrington with her mother. Her mom is having significant dementia issues as well as struggling with cancer. And the doctors aren't sure yet if the cancer is affecting the memory because it seems to have declined rapidly. They're expecting more chemo treatments. Prayers for Cheryl and for her 4 children. The kids are used to having summertime in Casper with friends, and instead they're at grandma's house, and things just kind of feel uncertain right now. So prayers for all of the family. I give you greetings from Jean Johnson, one of our senior members. I talked with her yesterday. She is so proud of grandsons who are doing well in rodeo and thankful to be in good health and be able to be there to cheer them on. I know she was at the college national final rodeo last night, and in July, she'll be going to the high school national final rodeo to watch another great-grandson. She is thankful to be remembered by our church family. The missionary we're lifting in prayer today is Susan Valiquette, who serves in South Africa. We continue to pray for people who are threatened by natural disasters, by storms, wildfires, and volcanoes. We pray also prayers of thanksgiving for our youth, some of whom just finished a week at Camp La Forêt, and others who will be headed south for Cairo Camp this coming week. Wanda Leland's daughter, Ruth, has been in ICU this week on life support. We need to continue to pray for Ruth and for all of the Leland family. We extend sympathy to Mary Burgess's daughters, Linda and Sandy, at the passing of their stepmother. Are there others today that we need to pray for, joys we want to share? Pam.
Just pray for my brother Jim, his name is Jim Wagner. He is possibly going to get a pacemaker for his AFib, so he'll see the doctors on Wednesday to see exactly what they're going to do.
Prayers for Jim Wagner, who may be getting a pacemaker to deal with AFib. Wanda.
Wanda.
That is good news. We are thankful that Ruth is doing well enough. She may get moved out of ICU today. So we hope that that does indeed happen, and we continue to pray for health and strength and recovery for her. Steve. Prayers for Steve Heckfeldt's niece, Cody Pitts, who is having blood tests, possible liver failure, trying to diagnose what's going on with her. Prayers for Cody. Prayers of thanksgiving that Dylan Stupak is continuing to recover from a serious virus. We lifted him up last week. He was well enough to be able to go to church camp this week, and we're so, so thankful for that. They're coming home today. Prayers for safe travels for campers and counselors after a long week when they're tired and they're driving on rainy roads. Are there others this morning?
For the Steinle family, Mark's mother, Elizabeth, passed away. So there will be a funeral. And, of course, Pam and Jenna were close to her, too. Her son, Steve.
Prayers for the family of Elizabeth Steinle, for daughter-in-law Pam, for son Steve, and for all of the family at her passing. Prayers for Huckle Foster, who has serious health problems. Let us bring all of these prayers and other thoughts of our hearts to the Lord in a time of shared silence. O loving God, our Heavenly Father, Creator of the world, we give thanks for the gift of a gentle rain to water the earth, and we give thanks for the gentle gifts of your Spirit falling upon our lives to nourish and strengthen and bring hope. Lord, we pray for all of those we have named today. We pray for physical healing and spiritual peace. Lord, we ask you to watch over Jim Wagner as he deals with heart issues. We pray for the family of Roger Miller and the family and friends of Elizabeth Steinle, for Linda and Sandy as they grieve their mother-in-law, their stepmom's passing. Lord, for each one who has known loss, we ask your comforting presence. And for those who grieve fathers gone or fathers never known, we pray, Lord, that others in this world may model your love. We ask for healing for Cody Pitts and Huckle Foster, Mina Paget, and continued health and strength for Dylan, for Ruth Leeling. Lord, we pray that she will indeed move out of ICU today into a regular room, and that her health will continue to improve. Bless her with strength and full recovery. Lord, we ask you to watch over campers and counselors traveling to and from La Ferrée this week. Keep them safe. And we thank you for the gift of Christian community shared in a place of beautiful nature. We pray for Christian community formed by missionaries and ministers around the world We ask your blessing today upon Susan Valiquette and others in South Africa and the members of St. Francis of Assisi Church in Draper, Utah, a special ministry that serves women incarcerated. Oh God, we pray for all of those who are serving prison terms, that even behind bars they might know the freedom of your love and find forgiveness and grace in relationship with you. Oh God, we pray for your grace to surround and sustain every breath that Jackie Meeks takes. Lord, we pray that the hand of your Holy Spirit would be upon her and her husband, Jerry. Keep them calm in uncertain times. Surround them with love. And let them know, oh God, your strength and your eternal presence beside them during the journey that they are living. Lord, we ask your blessing to be with Jean Johnson and all of our senior members, all of those who are unable to be in worship this day. We pray wherever they are, Lord, that they might know your grace. Oh God, we thank you on this Father's Day for fathers past, present, and fathers to be. We pray for dads who with large hands button tiny snaps and cradle infants. We thank you for fathers who with great strength lift children on their shoulders and make footsteps that challenge those who come after to follow. We thank you, God, for all good dads. And for those who know they fall short of the mark, we pray for courage that they might strive to be better. And Lord, we thank you that you are the ultimate Father. We thank you, God, for loving us and for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we are adopted into your eternal family of love and grace. May each of us strive every day to truly be worthy of the name Christian. In Christ's name we pray and we live. Amen.
As disciples, it's our tradition to invite all followers of Jesus Christ to join in the celebration of Holy Communion as just one way to celebrate our given unity in Jesus and his church. As we gather at the table, we remember that Jesus did indeed lay down his life to save us. You're invited to come forward by the center aisle, beginning with the front pew, and choose to receive communion from the tray. Then return to your seat by the outside aisle. If you prefer to remain seated, you will be offered communion in your pew. Please place your tithes and offerings and prayer cards in the offering trays as you come forward. And remember, you get a choice today. Let's sing hymn number 390, Lord of Our Highest Love, as we prepare for communion.
Thank you.
as we come forward to receive communion today or remain in our pews and are served, we remember the ways in which Christ came forward, accepting God's call to carry the weight of the world's sin on his shoulders. We remember that night when he met with his friends in the upper room. While they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Eternal Abba, you have loved us like a father. You have provided for our needs and protected us from our enemies. In Jesus Christ, you took on the sin and death and made available to us forgiveness and life, abundant and eternal. This broken bread is the emblem of your broken body for us. This cup, the promise of eternal love. As we partake of this in faith here this morning, fill us anew with your Spirit so that your great desire will be to please you in all that you are and do. We want to live our lives of gratitude, maturity, and responsibility. So direct our feet unto the paths of righteousness and correct us when we go astray in our attitudes and in our actions. Send us into the world serving your purpose, relying on your power, and knowing and making known your presence in Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.
give thanks, O Lord, for all the blessings of life. Receive now these tithes and offerings as a sign of gratitude in our hearts. Amen. Please enjoy some special music offered by Amber French and the Oil City Slickers Barbershop.
Morning, everyone. In honor of Flag Day and 4th of July coming up, our first song we want to sing is Star Spangled Banner.
Our flag was still. That was quite awesome. Good morning, everybody. Today we will be reading from 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10, and in your pew Bible it'll be found on page 181. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. If needed, when we have taken it off, we will not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan under our burden, because we wish not to be unclothed, but to be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil.
Our reading continues at verse 14. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We were blessed to have the Oil City Slickers Barbershop stop by and grace us with that wonderful music. They're performing at least three different churches this morning. So they sang before they came here, and now they're off to bless someone else with that gift of music. When you see Amber next Sunday, be sure and thank her for bringing that group to us. Will you pray with me? Lord, you call us to walk by faith, not by sight. But we confess, O God, sometimes we get hung up on what we can see. Help us to let go of what needs to be laid down so that we might truly belong to you and become a new creation in Christ. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There are some Sunday mornings when I stand up to preach and it's tempting to say, you've already heard it. Sometimes the choir offers a message that is so beautiful and so powerful, I feel inadequate to add a word to what God has already shared with us. This morning, if you don't get the sermon, at least you've already heard it. If you were here for children's time, you've kind of already got the heart of the message that we are called to walk by faith, not by sight. The Apostle Paul traveled around starting new churches. After he had his conversion experience and was changed from Saul to Paul, he changed from being a persecutor of followers of Christ to becoming a proclaimer of Christ. He was so filled with the passion that Jesus was God's son that he accepted the call from the Lord to begin new churches. Indeed, Paul was instrumental in founding the church in Corinth, a new congregation. As he continued his travels, he stayed in touch with that group of believers. And we are graced in the Bible to have two of his letters, 1 and 2 Corinthians. We speculate that he wrote at least four letters to the church at Corinth, though two of them are missing from the biblical canon. The first letter includes that beautiful passage in chapter 13 that speaks of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. His first letter is kind of this heartfelt word of encouragement to the church. And then it became apparent that at some point there was dissension in the church at Corinth. There was some trouble. And at one point, one of the letters Paul wrote to them was pretty harsh and called them to account. Perhaps it's a bit of a blessing that that letter isn't included in the Gospels of the Bible, because then we too would have to hear Paul's rebuke when we get off the path. And then he wrote a second letter that we still have. Both letters were probably composed about the year 55 AD, about 50 years after the death of Christ. The first was written in Ephesus, the second was written in Macedonia. So Paul has been traveling, he's been keeping tabs from a distance through fellow servants like Timothy and Titus. He's received updates of what's happening at the church in Corinth. And now at the heart of his second letter to the Corinthians, we hear this imagery in which Paul is wrestling with life and death. He talks about clay jars and earthly tents, and how we are called to live by faith. We live in mortal form, in human flesh. Whether you embrace Paul's imagery of being an earthen vessel, a clay pot, or a tent, at some point you know you've got a body. You figure it out when you look in the mirror, when you feel your fingers and your toes, when you walk and you dance and you leap. It's pretty hard to ignore your own flesh, especially if you get to a certain age where it begins to creak and remind you it's there. Or at those times when you're hungry or tired, your body has needs, and so you take care of those needs. It's part of how God designed us to be. But we are not just our body. There is more to us than that. There is more to life than what we can see. And this is part of the theme of what Paul is trying to elaborate on in his letter to the church at Corinth. In the midst of their struggles in living in Christian community with one another, they seem to keep getting hung up about the tangible and spend less time pondering the intangible. They seem to struggle and squabble a bit with the earthly form of the church, and Paul is calling them to live beyond that. So this morning, I invite us to focus on this simple verse, this simple phrase. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Some translations say we live by faith, not by sight. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to you to live by faith? As I was pondering the sermon this morning, I kept thinking over and over in my mind about the trust walks we take at camp that I shared with Caleb. He was such a good sport today. The idea that even when you can't see, you can still walk. But it takes faith, it takes trust to be able to do that. I grew up in Alamogordo, New Mexico, home of a state institution. At one point, it was called the State School for the Blind, and then it was renamed the New Mexico School for the Visually Handicapped. And it's since been renamed. It's now the New Mexico School for the Blind and Visually Impaired. But their mission through the years, in spite of the name changes, has remained the same: to find a way to help those who cannot fully see on their own be able to walk, be able to live, be able to function independently in society. There's a beautiful campus along the main highway that runs through Alamogordo. There's residential dorms and classrooms, and people of all ages come there to study. Sometimes there are children who are born blind at birth. Other times, because of accident or illness, even into adulthood, people find themselves unable to see. And if you're a resident of New Mexico, you have the opportunity to go to Alamogordo and receive training. So it's not an uncommon sight if you're walking around downtown or shopping at the mall to see someone walking along with a white cane tapping the sidewalk in front of them, wearing dark glasses to protect their eyes from the New Mexico bright desert sun. Sometimes you don't necessarily know if that person is completely blind and can't see anything at all, or they can see a little bit of light and distinguish shapes. The School for the Blind teaches individuals how to read in Braille. So with their fingertips drawn quickly along raised bumps, they can read any text. They can read any text that has been printed in Braille. The students at NMSVH, as I used to call it, learn how to live independently. The ultimate goal of this supportive, caring community isn't that they'll find a home there, but they'll be able to find a home anywhere. There are off-site housing facilities available for students as well. When a student has reached the point that they're able to walk and navigate on their own, they move out from campus and they learn to prepare their own meals, to count money and make change and pay bills, all without being able to see. It somewhat boggles my mind to think about what it would actually be like to function when you couldn't see a thing. So much of our daily life, so much of our interactions depends on our vision. Being able to see the facial expression of a person that you're engaged in conversation with makes a huge difference. Just navigating your way in the world. I wonder what those students could teach us about seeing that we take for granted. Because, you see, even being able to see in this physical world is not just about your eyes, but it's about all of the ways in which you interact with the world. Paul is calling us to reflect on the ways in which we interact with eternity. The ways in which the very Spirit of God has chosen to dwell in our earthly tents, in the clay jar of our body, in the physical presence of the world around us, we can at times glimpse eternity itself. What does it mean to you to walk by faith and not by sight? Sometimes we use the expression step out in faith, meaning try something new, give yourself a chance. You might not know the end result. I asked Charles if he had any suggestions of illustrations of what it means to walk by faith, not by sight. And he said, well, I think that happens anytime you take a new job or you move to a new place. I think during our daily lives, our yearly lives, each one of us at some point has an opportunity to risk a new adventure. And that takes faith. It takes a little bit of trust in yourself to be able to try something you've never tried before. Whether it's learning a new skill, studying a new subject, starting a new job, moving to a new house, or perhaps entering a new relationship, joining a new group. It takes a lot of courage even just to visit a new church where you haven't been before and hope that you'll feel welcome. To live by faith touches on all of that and a little bit more. To live by faith means we are truly trusting completely, wholeheartedly, the one whom we cannot see in physical form. Paul says it this way. It's the love of Christ that urges us on. Because we're convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. Paul is writing to people who actually saw Jesus in the flesh. Paul is writing to people in Corinth who knew the first apostles who had walked with Jesus Christ when he was on this earth. They had a chance to see him in human form, to know him, by actually seeing him with their eyes. Paul knew people who saw the miracles Jesus performed. And yet there were others who did not have the chance to view Christ from a human perspective, who yet still came to know him. And such is true for us as well. I've never actually seen Jesus, not in the flesh. I've seen paintings of him, of course, artist conceptions, what he might have looked like. I can imagine his skin would have been dark-toned like an Arab or an Israeli because of the part of the world where he lived. I can guess that his hands might have been rough because at one point in his life, he was a carpenter who worked with wood. Probably his hair was somewhat long and his beard untrimmed just because it was the style of the day. But I don't really know what Jesus looked like. I can't see him with my eyes, but I can see him with my heart. I can know him through the stories of Scripture and through the personal testimony of other believers whom I have met, who have had an encounter with our risen Lord. To walk by faith, not by sight, to live by faith, is to put the trust of all of your life in one whom you cannot see. For some in the world, that sounds completely crazy. I think of phrases in our society like, show me the money, or the slogan of the state of Missouri, the show me state. We want to be people who will believe it when we see it. And yet God challenges us to believe with our eyes closed and our hearts wide open, to have faith even beyond what we can see. Sometimes it's a simple thing. Yesterday morning, I got up early to turn on our sprinklers to try to keep our lawn green. And Charles said to me, well, the weather report says it's supposed to rain this weekend. I was hoping it would, but I went ahead and turned on my sprinklers anyway, and then it started to sprinkle just a little bit. So I turned them off. I'd only watered part of the lawn. I thought, it's good, the weatherman's right, it's going to rain. But it didn't. It was dry. It's still cool, a pleasant day to be outside. And in the afternoon, Charles and I were working in the backyard, and it started to rain while the sun was shining. There must have been a cloud exactly over our house, because at one point, half of our yard was wet with this fine mist of rain from heaven, and half was dry. Charles and I were both sitting on the patio looking out at the lawn that I hadn't yet watered. And I said, look, it's raining. And he said, no, it's not. And I walked out in the yard, and the paving stones were dry, and it wasn't raining. I looked up, and there was blue sky, but there was a cloud. And I walked over to that half the yard, and I got wet. I left the sprinkler off. To be honest, as much as this is a great sermon illustration, it was not a matter of faith. It was a matter of laziness. I didn't haul out the hose. I didn't turn the sprinkler back on. I just thought, I'll wait and see. Maybe it'll rain, and maybe I'll have to water tomorrow. I looked out this time. It rained gently all night long and continues to rain today. Thank you, Jesus. That's going to help our water bill a little. I kind of doubt Jesus cares whether I watered my lawn or not, but I do believe that it is God who causes the rain to fall upon the earth. By faith, I know that it is going to rain, but I don't know when. It could be dry for the entire month of July, heaven forbid. And the lawn could turn brown if I don't get my sprinkler out. But I know no matter how long the drought is, sometime, someday, sooner or later, eventually, it will rain again in my backyard, or at least half of it. There are certain things that we just know. The sun will rise tomorrow, or more correctly speaking, our planet will rotate in the morning and we'll see the sun's rays beaming across the glory of God's creation. Is it by faith that I know that, or is it by experience that I've seen the sun rise enough times in 51 years that I know it'll happen again tomorrow? How is it that we faith, if we can make that word into a verb, how is it that we believe what we cannot see? Sometimes it's because we've experienced it before. Sometimes it's because we've had moments of tragedy in our lives when, through prayer and the support of other Christians, we have found the strength to go on, and so we know that God is with us. Sometimes it's through the gift of Scripture and the teachings of others that we have learned we do believe in what we cannot see. But how do you tell someone who has never heard the word, who has never encountered Christ? How do you tell someone who wants to believe in what they can see that there is more to life than they can see? How do you share your faith with someone who doesn't know Jesus at all? One step, my friends, is to tell the story by telling your story. To be so familiar with those places in your life where God's rain has fallen that you can share that with someone who is thirsting for salvation and hope. Another way to share your faith is by living it, by walking every day with Jesus, by living in such a way that when others look at you, the gospel message is as clear as when they read Paul's writing to the church in Corinth. When others see you, may they come to have faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And in so doing, we bring faith to those who are longing to see the presence of God in our world. And in so doing, we share the joy of being a new creation in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, she is a new creation. If we are in Christ, we are a new creation. We see in a new way, not just from a human perspective or a human view, but we see more completely than we've ever known before the glory of God's love. And so we reach a point that Paul knew of total peace. Even if we live in an earthly tent that is frail and falling apart, we know that's not the end of the story, but only the beginning when we walk with Jesus. This week, my friends, may you find ways to walk by faith, not just by sight, to live by faith, and to walk with the Lord each and every day. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn is number 618. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. How firm a foundation. If there is anyone here who longs to walk more closely with Jesus and you need to give your heart to the Lord, you're invited to come forward. And if you're wanting to join First Christian Church, we will welcome you into membership today. Let us stand and sing. Thank you. in Fellowship Hall downstairs. There's coffee and refreshments waiting. I hope that you will stay for a few moments and enjoy Christian fellowship with one another. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for walking with us every day so that we may walk by faith, that we may live by faith. Go before us, behind us, beside us, and within us as we leave this place, that we may be people of faith, and in all we say and all we do, bear witness to you. Amen. There are cookies as a gift for all the dads and all the men of the church in celebration of Father's Day. Make sure you get yours as you leave.